shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, Lord.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of years ago, my wife Marlis and I went to have our hearing checked. It's just a routine thing every so often. And we learned that each of us had a problem with just one frequency. Yeah, I have trouble with the frequency of her voice, and she has a problem with the frequency of my voice. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's a little joke, because in these cases, what we need is not a hearing test, but a listening test. There's a difference, you know, between hearing and listening. And this day, the day we call the Transfiguration of our Lord, is a day that we see the difference. It's a striking story. It's an amazing story. Maybe it's the origin of that expression about being a mountaintop experience. It probably is. So Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John, and they go to the top of a high mountain. At a recent theological conference, a speaker asked the group, "Why those three?" And some older pastor said, the inner circle. And she said, "Or maybe the remedial group? Why those three?" It was the kind of comment that makes you go back and look at your Bible another time. When are these three mentioned? Peter, James, and John. Not many times. Here, and here they are terrified. They don't know what to say. And they're still puzzled as they go back down the mountain. Two of the Gospels have these three going with Jesus when he's praying in Gethsemane, where they're asked to watch with him, but instead fall asleep. And when Jesus three times predicts his coming passion, his suffering and death, Peter, James, and John are the three disciples called out by name for getting it wrong. The first time, Peter rebukes Jesus for saying that he's going to suffer and die. And Jesus rebukes Peter, calling him Satan. Just after the third prediction of his suffering, James and John come to Jesus and ask for places of honor in his kingdom. So maybe they are the remedial group, but they are also the inner circle. And I think that says something about us, doesn't it? At the same time, faithful disciples and a remedial group, having trouble getting faith and life and our discipleship right. But back to the story. Atop the mountaintop, Jesus is transfigured and Moses and Elijah appear. Peter, terrified, doesn't know what to say, says it's great to be there, and then suggests building some kind of shrine, as if the world needs one more tourist attraction. Then suddenly a cloud, and from the cloud a voice, clearly the voice of God, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And maybe Peter's saying, "Listen to him, but he's not talking to us. He's talking to those guys over there, Moses and Elijah." First, the voice declares the identity of Jesus. But the command to listen is new. He was identified as Son of God in his baptism. But now this assignment to the disciples. And I think it's one of the key lines in this reading. The other is the command when they come down the mountain to tell no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. But what's this business about listen really about? Is it just like a school teacher telling students to pay attention? And if so, they blew through a whole lot of special effects just for something like that. But it might be worth noting what has just come before it. Well, one of the problems with the Bible, it's very helpful, but it's also a problem sometimes, is all that business of chapters and verses. Because if we just read the story straight through, we would notice that Jesus has just been talking about discipleship. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Peter has just objected to Jesus' prediction of his suffering, so Jesus explains it. This is what discipleship looks like. Listen to that, disciples. You disciples, you disciples. All disciples. Following Jesus is not a prosperity gospel, but instead it is investing your life in carrying Christ's love and compassion, the good news of what Christ has done in our little corner of the world, and as much more as we're able to touch. Discipleship ultimately is not about you. It's a call. You are a disciple because God has a purpose for the world. So it's not to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. It is about fulfilling your life, making your life more complete, about finding your calling and your meaning in being God's person. And what about that command to tell no one until after the resurrection? Friends, that's really key for all of the Gospels. We can't understand the story. The people in the story can't understand the story, can't understand Jesus while they're in the middle of the story. Anything they say at that point would be wrong. The story of Jesus can only be understood in terms of in the light of his crucifixion and resurrection. We've been called Easter people. We are Easter people. We've never been called Transfiguration people. In fact, in the early church, this story of the Transfiguration was never a really big deal. It was never a central part of early preaching. It's not mentioned in any of the sermons in the book of Acts. The only mention elsewhere in the New Testament is in 2 Peter, a very late one of the writings there. If the story of Jesus is told, friends, without Good Friday and Easter at the center, Jesus is likely to be misunderstood. Just a miracle worker, just a healer, just a teacher, but probably no more than that. But after Easter, the disciples recognized, we can see it. We can see that they recognized God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Something we're going to be talking about during Lent. Reconciling, uniting all things, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. It's on the basis of Good Friday and Easter that we call him Savior and Lord. That's why this gospel reading is appointed for this day, the last Sunday before we enter Lent, because Lent is a season for reflection, for thinking of the direction of our lives and turning, that's the meaning of repenting, turning as we sense what our Lord is calling us to be. It's a season that will lead us to Holy Week, lead us to Good Friday, his death, and then to the joy of Easter and the resurrection. The command to Peter, James, and John to listen, friends, that might have another meaning, not only looking back to what he has said about suffering, but looking ahead to the message that they're going to receive on Easter morning. We'll get there, and we'll talk about it then, but this is the message. Tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. For the disciples, what that means is a call back to the place where the journey had begun, the place to where they were first called to follow, to become disciples. And maybe we should hear in it something of an invitation to their new mission, to carry the gospel to the world. As we read Mark, We soon learn that this event, the Transfiguration, didn't make these disciples smarter, didn't make them more obedient, didn't make them more faithful. In fact, the 12 disciples seem to remain as obtuse as they were before. And isn't that like us as well? We keep hearing the word, we keep reading the scripture, and we follow, and yet over and over again we screw it up. But I think this was in their memory. I think that's why it's in the Gospels, because it helped them put the pieces together and gain a better understanding as they began their mission in the world. Today we're reminded that the words from the cloud and the command of Jesus are addressed to us as well. First, to listen to Jesus. To try to conform our understandings, our message, our lives to what we see and hear in Him. It's not common in our world. We don't spend enough time listening to that. Our call is to be grace-centered. Our call is to have our lives and our message in the world, our place in the world, be based on Jesus. Our call is to look to and listen to Him. And the command of Jesus can remind us that we too have to be sure Good Friday and Easter, the death and resurrection, are the center of the story. In our lives, as on Sunday mornings, may we not only hear, may we listen with our ears, our hearts, our lives, and continue faithfully to follow our Lord. Amen.